from the Lighthouse Chapel International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Osabre will inspire you with rare teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord and to do your best for Him. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now listen to Victor Collins Osabre.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Our soul will continue to follow hard after thee. We know there's no water. This is a thirsty and a dry land. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for being such a great Father to us. Jesus taught us to pray and to say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Indeed, you are a Father to us. You give us life. You have taken away our shame. You have taken away our pain and our sorrows. So many things have you taken away when you died on the cross for us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. We're very, very grateful today. We are here in your presence, even as we celebrate Father's Day. You are the greatest Father of all. We give you glory, we honor you, and we bless you for the great things that, Lord, you have done and you continue to do for us. Thank you for teaching us this morning also, and that you will not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. One of happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. Especially those who have been with us for all this while. You see, we, in this life, in this world, we like artificial things. You know what artificial things are? We like artificial things. We like a lot of cosmetic things, isn't it? In this life, a lot of cosmetic things are appreciated. We like show, isn't it? Or you don't know that we like show? We like impressions. Many people like to impress, but they don't have anything. Many people impress and they are nothing. Some of the most miserable people are some of the people who dress a lot. Because the only thing they can actually identify with is to put up a certain face. If you look at it in this world, many people who are very, very prominent are very good in certain things. Where's Prince? They don't dress so much. They appear very simple. Because it's not how you look really that determines who you are. Are you with me? In the same manner also, it is not, for example, Father's Day, many fathers will go to church or you invite your father. But I'm wishing happy Father's Day to those who have been here all this while. What do you think? Before we come to those who are here maybe for the first time today. Thank you very much, sir. Yeah, Mr. Samuel, Doris is one of the examples. He's here. He's a father. He comes to church. He's in a choir. Amen. Uh-huh. When we are saying things, we can't lie. You see, but sometimes people will make you lie because you don't have anything to say. You have to find something to say. Especially if people tell you, come and either marry people or bury the dead. It's very difficult. For me, those things are very, very difficult if I don't know you. It's not that I wouldn't want to marry your sister or bury your grandmother or something, but once you don't know them, there's a little you can say. And you can't come on stage and just act as if it's like you don't know what you're doing. No, I don't want to be put in a very uncomfortable position. You know, so happy Father's Day to the fathers, Mr. McLean, always here, all the time, Mr. Jordan, all the big men, Mr. Rankin Sr., isn't it? All the big men who come to our church and love us and are very dedicated to us. The Lord bless you and continue to keep you. Hallelujah. If I forgot you, don't worry. Amen. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. These are real things. So, I can't lie about Mr. Jordan. Isn't it? He believes in the church. His son is in the church proper. You talk about Mr. Rankin, Joe Rankin. His children and grandchildren are all in the church. Even grandchildren are. I mean, it's fantastic. So I don't have to lie. I don't have to put up a face to make them feel like, okay, I'm trying to say some nice things about them. It's a real thing. Mr. Doris, it's children. Except Timothy and Mark. The prodigal ones. In the spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it's a good lesson, you know. That is not what is only on the outside, but the inside. So let us believe in the church. Fathers, mothers, everybody, let us believe in the church. This is the only safe place for your children. Oh, I didn't hear amen well. Sure. I tell you. So this morning, I want to just preach very shortly. You know, I have another preaching to do. Next time, if you keep it long like that, I won't come. I'll go somewhere else. No problem. All right. So, we want to look at three rewards for honoring fathers. I'm preaching from this book, Fathers and Loyalty. Where else can I preach from? Now, from this book, Fathers and Loyalty. If you have a copy, let us all go to a chapter right there in the book, Fathers and Loyalty, and page 91, chapter 10, three rewards for honoring fathers. Three rewards. Now, the next time, I will prefer that we talk about our fathers as we have changed and become Christians. I prefer that testimony. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Because fathers and the areas of fatherhood is where we are not very strong at all. Even in motherhood. Except that we don't, maybe Mother's Day, we'll look at that as well. But many of us don't know how to handle our fathers. It's true. Many of us don't know how to handle our fathers. So I prefer to know much about what you have learned since you became a Christian, rather in how you are handling your father. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we have to understand is that when you are in darkness, when you are in the world, when you are not a Christian, there are certain things that you do that you don't know about, which does not actually exempt you from how God wants you to behave. You see, God created the heavens and the earth, and he has placed certain things in order. Now, we only find out when our eyes open that this is how God wants us to behave. And that's what I'm saying, that I prefer you tell me how you are behaving in relation to your father now than generally saying who your father is to you. That is where I want to know whether Christianity is helping or is not helping you. Or whether you have changed or you have not changed. Whether you are born again or you are not born again. I am saying that fatherhood in Guyana and in the Caribbean is a very complicated something. Anybody has a father here in the church? I don't know. Huh. So let me feel here. I'm preaching. Are you there? I'm saying that fatherhood in Guyana is a very, very tricky thing. You get it? Because as a human beings, we react to things that we are not happy about. Once we are not happy with a thing, we will react. Then sometimes people react even more. Because there are people who are a bit more controlled, self-controlled, and all of that. Is that any? Hey, I see. Wow, that's why it's raining. It's too powerful. That's Reverend Isan's senior brother. Yeah, he resembles. Okay. I hope he's writing his name today in the church today. We should chain him to the church today. He's the one who built the trestle for us. The trestle we pulled down is Ayeni who built the trestle for us many years ago. Wow, it's fantastic. All right. So, where was I? I'm saying that the what? Fathers in Guyana and how we deal with them is something else. Because we like to react. One of the things that makes us human beings is our feelings. And the more human or natural you are, the more you react to your feelings. The more spiritual you are, the more you are able to handle things that touches your feelings. The Bible says that add to your faith temperance. Peter talks about it. That you have to add certain things to your faith. Now that you have faith, you have to add patience. And then you have to add, because you have to be patient. When you become a Christian, you can't just react anyhow. You have to learn to be patient. And then he goes again to say that, and to patience also add temperance. Temperance is like a temperature regulator. You know, when you have a pressing iron, you know, when it gets hot, then it goes down by itself. And then when it gets a little, then it goes up. You have to have a mechanism in your heart, in your spirit, as a Christian, to regulate your feelings. Because feelings are not, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge what? You have to be able to regulate your feelings and your movements. Do you get it? You can't allow sadness to take control over your life. You can't allow not being happy or something happening. You can't allow those things to overshadow your life. You have to regulate feelings. You can't let hunger and desire for food control your life. You can't allow your lust, your feelings of probably having sex or want to have sex control your life. Otherwise, you become a dangle, whether you're a male or a female. Hallelujah. So, when it comes to fatherhood, we react also. Because if my father didn't take care of me, I don't like him. True or false? If my father didn't treat my mother well, in fact, my mother talks in the house about him so much so that when you grow up hating your father. Because, you see, and the deception in this is that you only hear your mother's side of the story. You have never given daddy a chance to also say what, how bad your mother is. You should. Are you following the Bill Cosby sex trial? They have declared a mistrial. The jury, I think about 20 of them, 10 are saying innocent, 10 are saying guilty. And so it's a mistrial. It's a foolish case. So if they like, they can appeal. You see, because it's not what somebody says only. You have to find out what the other person also says. And then you need evidence of that to really judge a case. But what we are used to is that once something is said, we just go along. It is amazing when sometimes people talk about the church, talk about a pastor, just by something they have heard, without not even knowing or having set eyes on the man of God or even been to the church before, and how they take up the case and just carry on. Oh, then you see that if he wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. In the same way also, fathers are treated like that. In Guyana, fathers are not. You see, a father's, one of the things you have to understand is that in Guyana, people are not prepared to be your father. It's just some excitement of having sex. He gets an erection, he sees a cake, and he goes inside the cake. And then your mother doesn't even know safe periods and periods where you get pregnant. A lot of women don't know menstrual cycle. They are so ignorant about menstrual cycle. They just open their legs for some Chinese rice. And then you come out. And then when you come out, then your mother tells you all kinds of things about your father. Meanwhile, the man was no way prepared for you to come home. He just wanted to do something. Hey! He just wanted to be happy. He saw a nice girl, some nice breasts, and nice hips, nice face. And he said, one baby. And then he got through. Only to hear 3-4 months later that you're pregnant. You think about it. If you were him, You come and say, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm getting... No.
Within that 3 months, he has even moved on to somebody else. So you are pregnant. So now he has to try and save his face by, you know, coming here and going there and coming here and going there. Until the baby comes out and he realizes that the money that he didn't get, he got to give money. Then he starts staying back. He starts hiding a little bit more. It's not me own. Because now he sees the responsibility that a child comes with. Then he goes to hide. Then you call him here. He say, oh, no, I ain't in town. I ain't in Bobby's. Then you begin to insult him. This is a stupid man. This is the right from the belly. You are insulting him right from the belly. You are pregnant. So you realize that many men do not plan to become fathers. It's a true thing I'm saying. That is why they are not around you. It's not that they don't love you. They just did not plan it. And as for children, you have to plan it though. Our first daughter, I didn't plan it. I was just... No, I'm telling you the truth. I married my wife in 1994, the 5th of December, or 10th. 10th of December, 1994, I married her. It took her 4 years to join me in Holland in 1998. Lois was born in 1999, so it was very quick. When she came, I owed a lot of people. So, a man's mind is very calculative. So, when she came, my whole plan was that as she has come, now two is better than one. Let she come and walk. Let me pay out people who I owe. Whilst I enjoy myself, I want to pay my bills. Only to hear the news one day that I missed it. I said, what do you mean by you missed it? You were supposed to watch over this thing not to miss it. Now, mind you, if she was not married to me, it would have been a different case. Simple. Because I want money. It's money I'm looking for. Me want no picnic. It's money I want. You know how when courts come to your house to come and take your say, people had come to my house, wanted to take my bed, wanted to take my TV. So I was very hot. And I managed to get some money and bought a ticket for her to come. So that when she comes, oh, thank God, we'll be able to pay that. Now... I mean, so I had to, you know, I have to catch myself. That this one here, you ain't got no choice. Uh-huh. So I have to correct my mind and then say, okay, praise the Lord, hallelujah. What can we do? Oh, yes. So when Lois was born, we were poor. We used to walk from our house to the hospital. I tell you. And she too, she came, 7 months, not 9 months, 7 months she came out. So it means 2 months extra in the incubator. So every blessed day, we had to go to the hospital, morning, afternoon, evening. Because if you have a little something here, this little dolly something in an incubator with is this needles or whatever, syringes or tubes all over here, you go there 3 times a day. But you had to walk. And then God bless us with a bicycle. So at the point, I tow her on a bicycle, we go to the hospital. You see, I did not plan for no baby. And most men are like me. You just want to just stretch. It's like when you get a vehicle. You want to go fast. Yeah. You don't know that you can die. But some young men get a vehicle. It's just speed they think about. Yeah, speed. They want to show their skills that they can drive. Meanwhile, you just got the car the other day. It's the same thing with a woman. When you come into contact with a woman, oh, you want to have sex. You want to kiss her. You want to sex her. Somebody said reckless. You know, in all the craziness you are getting yourself into, then the lady comes 3 months later and tells you something else. Number one, you are not married to her. So it's difficult to... It's not that you're going to marry. No. You have to. The whole idea is a very difficult idea. Now the child comes out. You are not prepared. You don't have... You see, because when you marry, then at least you look forward to a certain kind of lifestyle, to have money to take care of people. So once you are not married, you are not prepared for a certain plan. So when the baby comes, it's very difficult. So then what happens? Then we end up growing up and not loving and appreciating the fathers who have brought us into this world. But you see, no matter whose Chinese alarm is that? Please press on your, if it's yours. Neil. Okay. Hallelujah, are you there? But you see, with all these things that come upon us in life, God is one way. God is one way. God wants us to honor. It is not God's fault that you came out in such a situation. Because all the things God has told your mother and your father, they didn't listen to him. So it cannot be God's fault. So in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, 3 rewards for honoring fathers. There's a reward. Fitz, where have you been? There are rewards in honoring fathers. So today, I want to talk to you so that your mind will change where your father is concerned. Because whether he has been good to you or has not been good to you, God is not taking that into consideration. Yeah. Children! How many of us are children? Whether you're a mother or grandmother, you're still a child. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he says in verse 2, that honor thy father and thy mother. Simple. Have you not thought of why the Bible does not say, honor thy loving, caring, money-giving, nice gifts giving father, darling father? Why didn't God say that? Honor thy father and thy soul mother who doesn't abuse you in the house, mother. Mother who doesn't like tack. Because sometimes the ladies will say, this woman, she like tack. Why is the Bible not saying, honor thy loving father and thy mother who does not speak when you go wrong? Because to God, a mother is a mother. To God, a father is a father. Whether he's a bad father or a good father or a not so, no matter what it is, he is a father. Understand that, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that. And I am more concerned about those of you who say you are Christians and come to Shepherd House, how you have started treating your father since you became a Christian. I am interested in that more than when you did not know Christ. Because I want to know how you're treating him. Because once you become a Christian, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. There are rewards. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It means that when you do it, this is what God will do for you. Many people are going from deliverance to deliverance. It is not the deliverance, though. You see, that is why You need to be in one church. Amen. To be known by your leaders or your pastor. So we can diagnose the problem and not just pray for you. Amen. But for some people, your problem is not respecting your father. That's the problem. That problem does not deserve anointing oil and deliverance. That problem demands repentance and to go to your father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And then starting to treat your father in a different way. That's what will bring a blessing. The Bible says it is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3. This is the promise. Number 1, that it may be well with you. Number 2, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. The promise of having a well life. Now, Anita, I'll be interested in what Mr. McLean says about you. I would take that more than the nice face you show me on a Sunday morning on your front row. Yeah. The same thing for Sherwin Doris. I am more concerned about how daddy will tell me how you treat him. More than the songs you come and sing. Oh, I don't know which song you were singing. Oh, your boy, your lolo boy, your lolo. That does not impress me. I'm impressed by what daddy will say. And mommy will say. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I am interested in. Those of you who have mothers and fathers in this church, that's what I'm interested. Reverend Isan, it's not going to deceive me. I am interested in what daddy and mommy will say about him. Yes. Yes. How he goes home. That he doesn't feel that now he's married, so he doesn't have parents. How he goes home and makes sure they are okay. And how he takes care of them and brings them to church and takes them home. And if they are sick, they take them to the hospital. I am more concerned about that. Than when he comes here and says, oh, glory be to God. Yes, we know glory be to God. We know that one. Tell us what we don't know. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Yes. Because that shows what you have come to understand in the Lord. Than the hallelujah and the things that we have, that we are doing here. The Bible says that it may be well with you. When you say it is well with you, you are saying that you'll be successful. When the Bible says it shall be well with you, it means that you'll be successful. So if you honor your father, you'll be successful. That's what it is. That's what the Bible is saying. That it may be well with you. To be well with you, to say that it is well with somebody, it means that that person is successful. So if you're not honoring your father, forget about success. You can go to school. You can be a businessman. You can go for prayer meeting. You can do all kinds of things you want to do. If you do not honor your father, the reward of being successful would not be your portion. It's true. You see, the thing about us here in Guyana, we don't do things for fathers. You see, as somebody who was born and who grew up in Africa, you see, and this is what I say in the church all the time, that you members of Shepherd House International, you have a greater judgment when it comes to certain things, because some of the things that I have grown up knowing and they are good, you have to know them and you have to do the same things. You can't be a Christian who does not respect your parents. Not in my presence. If I hear about it, I will abuse you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. No, we don't teach bad things in the church here. So if you hear our name somewhere and they say bad things about us, those people are ignorant people. We don't teach bad things here in the church at all. We do not approve children not respecting their fathers and their mothers. And we also don't approve mothers and fathers also beating their children for coming to church. That's also ignorance. Because we get that a lot in the church. If you see our church, you see a lot of young people. Many of their parents beat them because they came to church. I have a current case of a 15-year-old girl who loves the Lord so much. The mother beats her because she comes to church and she stays in church all the time. Hey, so what do you want? You want her to run away with a boy? Is that what you want? You'll get it if that's what you want. You want to be successful? You have to honor your father and your mother. But father, because today is Father's Day. So those of you who don't talk to your father, I'm preaching to you this morning. Those of you who have not heard from your father for many, many days, I'm talking to you. Those of you who do not treat your fathers nicely, Father's Day like this. You see, there is no show. That's why I said, when I started preaching, I said, there's this kind of artificial cosmetic. You put powder on your face look nice. But when there's no powder, your face is ugly. It's not Father's Day that you are going to tell your father, Happy Father's Day. What about from January up to now? What have you done for your father? After today, Father's Day, that's the end of fathers to you. Till next year. The emphasis is not on Father's Day. The emphasis is on a daily basis. Check your father. Make sure he is well. Hey, he brought you into the world though. You know that some people can have sex and then when it gets to the breaking time, they pull out? You, your father didn't pull out. He stayed in, cool and collected. For the formation of you. Then now you are in this world. You are in this world. You love yourself. You appreciate yourself. You're okay and all of that. Forgetting that you did not make yourself. You did not make yourself. That it may be well with you. It means to be successful. When it is well with you, you will overcome. Hey, this life is full of problems, oh. This life is full of a lot of dangerous things. So, now, if you don't honor your father, things will come your way that you will not be able to overcome. Yeah. I said, if you do not honor your father, things will come into your life that you will not be able to overcome. Yeah. George, it's okay, man. It's okay. You will not be able to overcome. Sit down and listen to the message of George. You see, George? Amen. Amen. You would not overcome. Let me tell you. I was saying that where I was born and I grew up in Africa. You see, your father is like a god. I tell you. Your father, I mean, you can't say no to your father. We don't say no to our fathers. It's not normal. Now, if you say no, number one, he will make you feel this scripture physically. He'll deal with you. That's why children fear their fathers more than their mothers. Because the father will beat you. Yeah, if you like, try. No, he'll beat you. We in Africa, the children rather are invested in to take care of their parents. Instead of here in Guyana where your parents are rather abroad and you calling them to forsend you something. No, we don't do that in Africa. No. We the children rather take care, we take care of them, the older ones. Because we know that the Bible doesn't say that it shall be well with the mother when he takes care of the son. It shall be well with the son rather when he takes care of the mother. Yeah. And let me say this to the Dorises. I'm watching you, the boys. So. I'm watching you, Mark, you, and Timothy. You say you are men. I'm watching you. I'm watching what you are doing for your parents. I'm watching it. Every day I watch it. Yeah, I watch it. Mark says he's in Trinidad working for big money. Let us feel the money here in Guyana. Yeah, I'm... And so the book is there. Buy it and read it. You will be successful. You will overcome. Amen. When the Bible says shall be well with you, it means you will overcome. Andreska, I'm sure you have a father. I hope when I call your father and I ask him, how's Andreska? I hope I will get good things only. Aha! She's not the only one. When it is well with you, you will thrive. You will thrive. New thriving restaurant. You thrive. You do well. That's what it means. That it may be well with thee. Maybe you have not sat down to think about that phrase. That it may be well with you. It means that you thrive. You will thrive. You will work upon issues and situations. You will thrive. You will overcome. You will be successful. It also means you will flower. You will flower. You will blossom. You will flourish. Hey. One of the things that I love doing was when I go back home in Ghana, where my parents were alive, I love to serve. When I go back to Ghana, some Sundays I don't go to church. I don't. Because when I go to church, I won't come back until the night. I said, that is what I do in Ghana. I'm not coming to do this where my parents are. How many times in a year do I see them? Then I've come for just 2 days, two nights. I came Saturday. I'm here Sunday. Monday morning, I'm back to Accra. Monday night, I'm out back to Guyana. Sunday morning, I should go to church. Whatever message is in me, God, please give it to somebody else. I stay home. I wash my father's car. I clean his room. I clean his things. I take my mother to church. Yeah. I sit in the kitchen with her and I cut tomatoes for she. Hey, I enjoy it. Because after that, I don't know when I come back whether she'll be alive. And that's what it is now. She's not alive. Yeah. One day, when my father's car was old, I decided to buy him a new car. I asked my big brother if he wants to join. He said, okay, no problem. When you buy it, when you are clearing from the wharf, I'll pay the cost. I said, good. I bought a car, sent it to Ghana. I went to Ghana. He sent me the money to clear it from the wharf. I cleared it. I registered it. Drove the car from Accra straight out to my father's house in the night. When the morning came, I said, Daddy, on behalf of your sons, I present to you from the bottom of our hearts this vehicle. Now, if I'm here and I'm prospering, you think it's Guyana that's prospering me? you making joke? You don't know where people have come from. The house that we have, we helped our father to build it. It was contribution. Every month, every one of his children would send money for my father to build a house. You see, he spent his life to take care of us. Now, so that the money that he could have built a house with, he used that money on us. So now that we are also somewhere in Europe doing this, doing that, where is he going to get money again to build a house? So now we have to now sit down and say, you know what? The time is now for us to build a house for our parents. And we contributed and we built a house for them. That's what every parent should do. That's what the Doris is. I don't know if you have any plan like that. It's a good idea. Yeah. It's a good idea. Because you have become who you are because of your mother. You see, when I see Sherwin in this corner here, I laugh all the time. I say, if this place wasn't there, where would you go? Where would you go? That you have enjoyed it. That now even your wife and your child also come there to enjoy. I'm preaching a very good message. Very, very good message. Very, very good message. Yeah. And let me tell you, like if it was in Africa, a family with like three boys, oh my. Oh my. Women, we call women waste. Men are the real deal. No, yeah. When you give birth to men, oh. I mean, they are the ones who take over. But now it looks as if women are rather the ones who are more of a blessing than the men. Yeah. Because the women rather bring it home. The men, they take it somewhere else. Oh. Sherwin, let me tell you a secret. If your father's, your family was a family in Ghana, hey, your parents will have a car that will take them wherever they have to go. And the house will be upgraded. To show that we are the Dorises. Don't you know us? That's real thing, real thing, real thing. Last time I shouted and the baby was crying. Real thing. If you were a family in Ghana, that's what happens. In fact, it is so rampant that it becomes a competition. Once the Douglases see that the Dorises have done something, then they say, what? These people want to put us to shame. Then they also rise up. They say, mommy and daddy, we want to do this. It's like that. So the neighborhoods in Ghana get so upgraded, not because of anybody, but because the children are going on a competition. That's how it is. That's how it is. I don't see how Mr. and Mrs. Rankin Sr. should be hungry. It shouldn't be. You know what we do? God forbid, when they die, then we go say, oh, mommy, oh, mommy, oh, mommy, oh, mommy, oh, daddy, oh, daddy, now you're crying? It's crocodile tears. It's caiman tears. It's not real. Because when they were alive, when they call you and say, I want to go to the hospital, come and pick me up, say, this woman is a botheration, man. This woman is a botheration. This man is a botheration. This man is a botheration. Now you wait, oh, God forbid, if one of them should go, I hope you don't have to go and borrow money to bury them. I hope not. I said, I hope not. Those of you have fathers who are older, I mean, when God calls them home, I hope that there will not be confusion among the children. Who is paying what? Who's paying? It happens all the time. We can't even pay for a casket to put our parents inside. Happens all the time. Now, what is the plan now? If we cannot even buy a car for them or build a house for them, what about when they die? Can we buy a nice, decent box to give them a decent funeral? Hey, that it may be well. Thank you, gentlemen. It may be well with thee. It shall be well with you because you are honoring your father. When it is well with you, you will multiply. How many of us don't want to multiply? You see, as a pastor to the Rankin family, for example, I hear a lot of family stories. And maybe I should say some when I'm preaching. I've heard stories of things that were supposed to be done for mommy. Is there a kitchen cabinet I heard? Where's Dion? Is there a kitchen cabinet I heard? One of the sons, I don't know whether it's a son or son-in-law, was supposed to build a kitchen cabinet up to today. There is a reason why they are moving like fugitives and vagabonds on this earth. That's it. They move from here and they go here. They move from here, they go here. Nothing ain't happening. Because if you can't honor your mother-in-law who brought forth a nice girl for you to have sex with, you can't do a kitchen cabinet for her. You will be a fugitive and a vagabond. That's why they can't settle anywhere. And it's going to be like that until they redeem themselves. Amen. Until they buy back whatever has covered them because of what they have done. You think God is a human being? God is not a man. He says that honor. God is the one who says that. I'm not the one. I didn't write the Bible. That it may be well. So if it is not well with you, if you have gone through issues that you have failed, issues that have taken the toll of you, you have not overcome because you did not honor. You did not honor. You didn't overcome because you didn't honor. My time is up, please. We'll continue another Father's Day. Stand to your feet, please. You continue. I got a rush. Go over the other side before something bad happens. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this short lesson. I pray that you forgive us, even as we ask our fathers for forgiveness. Everyone who has done something wrong to their father, whether they know or they don't know, Father, I ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us, forgive us. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us for how we have treated our fathers, our earthly fathers, our biological fathers, our spiritual fathers, people who have fathered us, people who have helped us, men who have played roles in our lives. Forgive us for not identifying them and recognizing them for who they are. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy. Have mercy on us. Have mercy, O God, on us. It is not enough only to invite our Father to church. It's not only enough to just say Happy Father's Day. Lord, it is enough, oh God, to be there for our parents, for our father especially, and honor them and treat them well and be there for them and support them in times of weakness. Let it be well with those who follow your word. Obedience is better than sacrifice, you say. Let it be well with those who obey your word. Who honor your word. Say, it shall be well. It shall be well. It shall be well. We want it to be well with us, oh God. Have mercy and show kindness. We repent, oh God. We repent. Show mercy and compassion, oh God. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we give you praise for speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name. You are here this morning. You are not saved. You are not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. You are not saved. You are not born again. If you were to die right now, you are not sure whether you'll go to heaven or hell. Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand wherever you are. You want me to pray with you? You want to give your heart to Jesus? Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. God bless you. Just your right hand up high. I want to pray with you. Just your right hand. Just your right hand. Just your right hand up high. Pastor, please, I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Help me. I want to choose Jesus today. Just your right hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your right hand, I wanted to ask you to come to the front. Come to me. I want to pray with you. Come to the front. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. And do your gift is more. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Broken hearts and broken lives. Come on, Ayene. Clap for him as he comes. God bless you, sir. God bless you. The power of his love. You want to join them very quickly? Power of his love. And everything was done.
Everything was done. So you will come.
Just close your eyes with me, gentlemen. It's a very, very good decision you are making. I just want to encourage you. Just don't let it be today. Follow up with what you are deciding today. It's very, very important to follow it up. If you become good at it, it means you have followed it up for years. The Bible says that you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth and you will be saved. So pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father. Church, join in as we pray together. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. I know and I believe that by this prayer I am born again. I have escaped hell. I am now a child of God. I am born again. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.